recorded by Mark, chapter 7, finding your way down to, we'll be in verses 31 through 37. Now, last week, as we were looking at this study, we saw Jesus was traveling into a Gentile or a Greek region known as Phoenicia. For what we understand or what we know of, the apparent sole purpose of extending deliverance to a young girl through the remarkable faith of her mother, who, through the faith which came by hearing of Jesus and believing that even the least of his mercies would be more than sufficient, this mother came and humbled herself before the Master and demonstrated her belief that only he could deliver her daughter. And what happened? He said, "Depart from me." No, he did not. He said, "The devil is gone out of the daughter." He honored her faith. He honored her faith. So today's text, as we'll read it in just a moment here, reveals that Jesus is once again on the traveling road. He travels once again to yet another Gentile region, and that is the region of Decapolis, a region that encompasses, it encompasses another area that Jesus had visited previously, which is the whole region of the Gadarenes, or the Gergesenes. Now, you remember what happened when Jesus went to the Gadarenes. You may recall, of course, his parting words to that man who was delivered of the devils, known as Legion. His parting words as he was getting on the ship and going were to go and tell what great things the Lord hath done for thee. And so it would seem, as we read here in just a minute, that this man did just that. As we notice the difference in how Jesus is now received as opposed to how he was previously rejected and sent away. You recall that when he delivered the man of the demons, the whole town, that whole region came out and said, "You know what? You need to leave. Leave right now." They rejected him completely. Well, let's read our text, verses 31 through 37, and let's see if we can't detect a slight difference in their heart's attitude. Verse 31 here says, "And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, as we look to this message today, Lord, there is no way that any one of us can do the right kind of justice to your word. But God, may your Holy Spirit fill each and every one of us today, especially me, Lord, as I try to share the sense and the application of this passage of Scripture. It seems like a very simple story, and yet, Lord, I believe that there is just so much here for us. God, won't you help us to understand? Open our hearts. Open our understanding, Lord. Help us to see what you would have us to see, each one individually and all of us together today. And we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for those that are taking notes, I have titled today's message, Being Opened. Being Opened. And I imagine you can probably tell why from the verses that we've already read. But as we get started to get from the coasts or the borders of Tyre and Sidon, where Jesus was, to what the Bible calls the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. Now, Jesus had to travel around the Sea of Galilee. Whether he went to the north side or whether he went around to the west and the south side, I don't know, and I don't really care. The point is he had to travel all the way around the Sea of Galilee and through at least a portion of this large area known as Decapolis. And this is all a Gentile area. Now, as we just mentioned, in his last experience here, the multitudes would have nothing to do with him. But now, it is evident that at least for many, the Bible says that there was a multitude, there has been, in fact, quite a change of heart. Perhaps because the profound change in the man that was delivered of the number of demons was so shared by him, and in such a way that was not about himself. You see, his testimony of what the Lord did, not just freeing him from demon possession, but the fact that these possessing demons had absolute zero power to withstand this man Jesus Christ. And they could do nothing but obey him. That testimony put the emphasis on the supremacy and on the authority of Christ. So maybe, as I'm studying this, I'm thinking, Lord, what do I take from this? And the thought came to me that maybe I need to, and I suppose since we're all here together, maybe we need to, from time to time, evaluate how we also testify of Christ. And maybe, from time to time, we need to redirect our own witness so that our emphasis is on Jesus and not upon our own sense of being blessed. It's not a bad thing to rehearse and to share how we have been blessed. But I believe from these scriptures and from studying this that maybe our witness would be more effective if it's not just that, oh, God blessed me this way, and I got this bill paid, and I got this, my truck made it all the way home from Florida, that was a great blessing. Maybe God took care of the problem that we were concerned about, but God got us home. God provided for when I had a need, God made all of it happen so that the need was met and I was able to praise God and see His hand in it, because God is able. You see, so maybe we can reevaluate our own witness and our own testimony to put that emphasis not on the blessing, but on the blessor, on the Lord. May the Holy Spirit of God help us. That is, may God help me first, and then also others to whom God might speak about this, and help us next time we bow before Him in prayer to ask and to seek a more Christ-centered method and means of effectively putting all that we testify on the person and on the work of Jesus Christ. We're not to be witnesses of how good our life is because of Christ. We're to be witnesses of how able and how ready and how willing Jesus Christ and God the Father are to take care of us and to fill the needs spiritually first, and then by the sense of blessing, some of the other things as well. So our text in Scripture tells us that Jesus came through the midst of the coasts, or the borders, if you will, of Decapolis, and suddenly, those who once rejected Jesus are seen in verse 32 as now seeking Him. Look what the Bible said again in verse 32. And they, who is they? Well, that's all the ones of the region of Decapolis. It says, and they bring unto Him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech Him to put His hand upon him. And then the next three verses give us the accounting of this man's healing. Now, I think once again, we're facing the question. It's a simple question. It's not an unreasonable question for us to think as we're reading through all of these scriptures and we're studying through this. Maybe the question that we might have for a moment is, why would God preserve just another example of Jesus' power to heal another infirm man? He's example after example after example after example of Jesus being able to heal someone. So, another one? Didn't I just read 14 instances where Jesus had healed somebody? And okay, well, now here's another one. Okay, we get it. Jesus has the power to heal. Okay, fine. Well, in fact, if it were just another example for us, it would be just exactly what we need. Because how often have we seen something time and time and time and time and time and time again, but all of a sudden something else happens that's just like all the other ones that happened, and boom, wow, we just realized something. If in fact it was just another example, it would be exactly what we need when we need it. I believe, however, that if we look just a little bit closer and consider some of these things, we can see a broader application as God continues our own spiritual growth process. How so? I'm glad you asked. The first thing is that verse 33 tells us, first thing we see in verse 33 is that Jesus took this man aside from the multitude. He said he took him aside from the multitude. Now, why not just demonstrate before the entire multitude? Because this is a multitude of Gentiles, and they also need to see the power of Christ. Why not just demonstrate in front of them his power to heal this man? Well, that's a great question. I believe that there are at least two reasons, and likely many more, but I think there's two reasons at least why he didn't just demonstrate his power in front of everyone. First, as we have seen previously, Jesus, from all that I've ever read, and from the little bit that I understand, Jesus has never been inclined to make a spectacle out of anything. And the way in which he would choose to heal this man, if we look at it, now it might be somewhat unique to this man's needs, and it might be a little bit odd for outsiders to say, he just stuck his fingers in his ears and he spit and touched his tongue. That's weird. Ew. But that, in this case, was exactly what this man needed. And it wasn't the fingers in the ears. It wasn't just the spittle. It wasn't just the touch. But it was Jesus caring for this man and directing the healing very specifically to this man's needs. You see, so that's the way Jesus tailored his healing. Now, we've seen a number of different means and methods of Jesus healing, have we not? But the way he tailored his healing for this man, you know, don't you find that that's exactly the way that Jesus will work with me and you also? You see, Jesus knows our needs better than we know them. And he knows that there are some things that require individual and unique solutions that only fit and work for us individually. Well, okay, that's fine. But what was so special about putting his fingers in his ears and spitting and touching his tongue like we just read? Okay, well, friends, for you and me, that means absolutely nothing except that Jesus was able to heal him. The method and the means which Jesus used mean absolutely nothing to us, but to this man, it was absolute healing. It was everything. And I don't imagine that this man cared one little bit that Jesus stuck his fingers in his ears and that he touched his tongue, because he was healed. Secondly, Jesus took him aside so that his methods would not be touted as some kind of a magical remedy by those who saw it without having a pure and understanding heart and spirit. See, Jesus did not want, as it seems, for this procedure or this method to become some Pharisaical tradition of sorts. You recall that when the Pharisees came down and said, hey, why didn't they wash their hands? Well, that's a tradition that the Pharisees were teaching, and what did the Bible say? That it made the Word of God of none effect. So Jesus didn't want this method to become some kind of a tradition that other people might try to use, like we've seen a number of biblical records being turned into. What do I mean by that? Well, we heard this morning about Jeremiah 29:11, about how that became the rage for a while. Consider, if you will, how mankind has dealt with many things like the manner of prayer that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That became the Lord's prayer. We've got to pray that prayer, those words exactly, and it's going to be magic. It's going to be great. That's not at all what that's for. We understand that. Or what kind of all the rage that, if you remember right, the prayer of Jabez? Oh, mercy. I'm going to tell you what. There was all kinds. There was plaques and stickers and posters and who name it. You name whatever it was. There was little trinkets. Everything became the prayer of Jabez. And if you just put this in your house and you just recite this prayer of Jabez, then you will be blessed indeed, just like Jabez was. Not even so. Maybe it was even things like the laying on of hands or the anointing with oil. Those also can be turned into parlor tricks. And that's not what it's for. Now, granted, there are times that these various methods need to be considered. But they need to be considered with a pure and understanding heart and spirit. And understanding what is the power behind these things. It's not the things, it's the faith that goes into bringing ourselves before God, humbling ourselves before Jesus Christ and asking the Holy Spirit to work. But mankind tends to look at these things as some kind of a magic solution. Recall, if you will, that there were, as I've mentioned, a number of different methods that Jesus employed in his healing processes. Whether it was speaking a word of healing or not speaking anything, but just assuring Jairus that his daughter liveth. Or the Syrophoenician woman, go home, the devil has left your daughter. And when she got home, guess what? The devil was gone out of her daughter. See, Jesus didn't speak a word of healing. He just said, it's gone, it's happened, it's done. Maybe it was things like, Jesus used this method of, I say, speaking a word of healing. Remember when he said, Lazarus, come forth. He called Lazarus. He didn't go into the tomb. He didn't touch him. He didn't lay hands on him. He simply said, Lazarus, come forth. So many more different ways that Jesus used to heal and to resolve situations. The point is that what Jesus may do or say to one is not necessarily what he will do or say to another one. Because it is not the deed or the word that accomplishes anything, but as I said, it is the faith and the belief and the submission to Christ that affects the healing. So, all right, I've gotten off track. I've rabbit trailed. That's okay. It's a little cute little bunny. But here we go. So in our scripture today, Jesus first takes this man aside. Second, verse 34 says, 33 says, he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And verse 34 says, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Now this mention of Jesus, as he looked up to heaven, the Bible says, he sighed. Now you might read that and think that, well, with a wrong spirit, we might read that and think that Jesus was sighing in mild frustration because it only seemed that people ever sought him out for his power to heal. Here we go again. That's not at all what this context says. So we've got to be very careful about this. In this context, the word sighed means that he prayed silently. Haven't you ever found that there are times that, I don't know, whatever the given situation might be, that all you can do is just sigh. And in that moment of sighing, in your mind and in your heart, you are praying, God, I need your help here. That's the context in which Jesus, the Bible says, he looked to heaven and he prayed silently, Father, may your will be done. Father, if you would heal this man. But then, Jesus looks to his Father, he prays silently before speaking, but then take note of the specific words that Jesus uses. The specific words that Jesus spoke. He did not say, be healed. He did not say, I will that you are able to hear and to speak. He did not even say, Father, heal him. What he said was a direct statement to this man's physical state. Be open for his ears. His tongue was also loose. But also, I believe, this was a direct statement to his spiritual state. Now, how can I say that? The Bible just says that he spake, he said, be open, and straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loose, and that was it. No, that's never it. Because I want to ask you, what was Jesus' purpose in coming to earth? It wasn't to go and heal the physical ailments that the people had. That was part of his demonstration of power. But Jesus' mission here was to seek and to save that which was lost. So there was always a spiritual application to everything that Jesus did. You see, so this one was not so much a command that the man is now saved, but rather, this command, this be opened command, was a charge that he also open his heart to how God wants to work in his life. Be opened. The Bible records that this man indeed was healed physically, as we saw in verse 35, and straightway his ears were open and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. We also know, though, that Scripture tells us Jesus' mission was to seek and to save that which was lost in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. So the charge to this man, and as it was preserved by God, friends, it's not just another example of God's healing. It was preserved by God for a very specific purpose for us as well, because we can now read it and study it and understand it. It becomes a charge to us as well to be opened to the working of God through the Holy Spirit. It holds the implication that if we will choose to be open to God, He will effect great healing and He will effect great accomplishments in our lives as we yield to His leading. So lastly today, verses 36 and 37. The Bible here once again says, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And look at verse 37. This is fantastic. The Bible says, and they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Now, as we close today, are we beyond measure astonished with the ability of Jesus Christ to handle every possible situation we bring to Him? Are we beyond measure astonished so that we publish it that Jesus Christ is able? Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is what we need. Jesus Christ has done this for me, but Jesus Christ can do this for you. He can give you a home in heaven eternally, forever. You never have to go to that place called hell. Are we so beyond measure astonished at how great things the Lord hath done? And do we testify that Jesus is the answer to all of our cares, all of our needs, all of our burdens, by being the living proof that He doeth all things well? You see, that's a greater testimony than anything that we could say. Talk is cheap, as they say. But are we living proof that Jesus doeth all things well? If we are, then we are obeying, we are just living out what God has asked us to do. So may God help us today to be opened to him and to profoundly testify of Jesus as Savior and Lord and not just the provider of the things that we want or think that we need. Now, those testimonies can be helpful, but it must always be about Christ and about Christ alone. Amen? Pastor.
Well, sometimes we read about these great things in the Bible. Man getting his sight, getting his hearing, being brought back to life. And we assume that, you know, nothing big like that's happened in my life. But there are a lot of little things that God does take care of. I think Steve preached back some time ago a message titled Little Foxes. Mm-hmm. Little Foxes.
Yep.
And sometimes the little foxes wear us down.
Yes.
And we have to be mindful of that. The Lord's not only interested in handling the major incidences in our lives, but even the things that may seem minor initially. But they can pile up, can't they?
Yes.
Along the way. Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together. Gather around your word, and Lord, we thank you for the many encouragements and how we can make these applications. Lord, we're constantly being reminded of how much you care about the infirmities that we have to deal with. And Lord, sometimes it's the wisdom, the divine wisdom from on high heals, and other times the divine wisdom from on high says that the testimony is greater as we deal with the infirmities, and our love and our passion for you never changes. And so, Lord, we just pray that we'll be mindful, that you're interested in every detail of our lives, and that, Lord, we ought to be also interested in every detail in how we hand them over to you and let you guide us and direct us in all those events. Now, Lord, guide and direct us to go our separate ways. May we be good witnesses this week. Until Jesus comes, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.